need somebody. Help. Not just anybody. Help. You know I need someone. Help.
Good morning, everybody. This is Bo Mitchell.
When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way.
And this is You Get the Blessing.
Now, but now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Change my mind and open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down, and I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me?
All right, the Beatles telling us how we all need help from time to time. And I received some help in a strange way 25 years ago when the creator and author of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, allowed me to go into federal prison. And today on our program, You Get the Blessing, we're going to talk about a little bit about that experience, but mostly about something that came from that experience. And You Get the Blessing exists to introduce you to guests that we think are impacting the community for Christ. And once in a while, we veer off and do our own thing. We call it Tips from the Team. And today, we're going to talk about a book that my wife, Gary, and I just wrote called Grace Behind Bars. Our book is in stores, Barnes & Noble, Hobby Lobby, Lifeway, or Christian bookstores, and Amazon. You can get the book, and it's a story. It's really the story of our lives. But 25 years ago, after feeling terrorized by the government, I was advised to hope and pray that there was technically something I had done wrong in business that would allow me to plead guilty and, you know, bring an end to this period that was really tough for us. So I was promised probation, and I had borrowed some money for some friends 7 years prior to even getting these phone calls, but the money had been repaid. I paid no restitution. There was no fine, in other words. But the judge, after being promised probation by the government, the judge said, you know, I'm going to make an example of you, Mr. Mitchell. He kept using the term general deterrence, said it about five times during his pronouncement of sentence. And he sentenced me to 11 months in federal prison. Legally, none of it ever made sense. So we said from the start, this must be a God deal. You can read about more specifics of what happened in the book, Grace Behind Bars. And I would appreciate it if you'd not only go buy one. Not that we're trying to sell it. We didn't write it to sell it, but it would be nice if people bought it, because what we have heard in the month and a half it's been out is it's very helpful to people that are going through their own struggles. But one part of the book's what we're going to share today on Tips from the Team. My partner, Mark Klibbe, is going to help me. So, Mark, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Bo. Great way to start the day off.
Yes, sir. And when this started happening to me, I wasn't embarrassed. I wasn't angry at God. I thought I must be a complete mess up, a knucklehead, that God's allowing me to go to federal prison. So I went in there to learn the lessons that God had for me and to focus on shutting up and falling at his knees and seeing what is it about me that's so messed up. And I knew at some level in the 80s that I needed to get better. I needed to be a better husband, a better father, better friend, a better businessman. I just went too fast, too confident, whether it was starting a church or buying a business, and it was reckless. It wasn't safe for people, and I knew it, but I didn't know how to get better, and God had a great idea. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to allow you, Bo, to move from the left lane of life, clear over passing the right lane into a parking lot called federal prison. So my wife started calling it an enforced spiritual retreat, because like I said, it never made legal sense to us. So we said, whatever the world throws at you, make it a God deal. Don't rebel, but surrender. So we surrendered. And I really was broken. I felt like crying most every day, and I did. There was a guy in prison that would say, jokingly, he'd say, Bo, don't cry every day in prison. It doesn't look good to the rest of the guys. But that's how I felt. I really felt broken. And when I got out of prison, I had resigned anything I was doing in terms of leadership because I felt it was the proper and the biblical thing to do. And people would ask me to speak, and I went one time reluctantly to speak. I was supposed to give a 35-minute talk to a small Bible study group in Boulder, and I was so broken. I stood there and could not talk for 20 to 25 minutes of the 35, and I just would stand there and cry thinking, boy, I'm wasting everybody's time here. And finally, the guy running the Bible study came up afterwards, put his arm around me and says, you're not ready. And I tried to tell him I wasn't ready, but he wanted me to speak, and I tried. But the first talk I gave out of prison is what we're going to share with you today and what we call tips from the team. So I hope you'll benefit from this message that God gave me to give to a men's group at a local church. First time I felt like, okay, maybe God's going to take me off the bench and use me again after prison. And like I said, this everything contained in our program today is also in the book, Grace Behind Bars, so you can pick up a copy. But Mark, I just felt like, well, I don't know what to talk about, so I guess I'll just talk about what I'm going through right now and what I'm learning. So if you don't mind, let's just go through these different points that I used that night in my talk and just share our thoughts with our listening audience.
Sounds great, Bo. I love the title, 12 Tips So Men Can Win. We all need tips to help us along, and these are great ones.
Well, like I said, I felt like it was God-inspired because I really didn't feel like talking. And when I got up, I was thinking, oh, brother, I hope I don't just stand here and cry again like I did in Boulder. But we got through it, and not all of these will make sense or be impactful to you, but maybe something that's said will strike you in the right way today and hit you right where you are and benefit you. So thanks for listening to You Get the Blessing Today. Like I said, I'm Bo Mitchell. Mark Klibbe is my co-host, and we're going to go through these 12 tips so men can win. The first tip, and I actually added a little poetry theme to the deal.
You had it going, didn't you?
Yeah, to help guys remember what was said. My handouts had a subtitle each time that was a little effort at poetry. But number one is, don't take too long to admit when you are wrong. And 1 John 1:8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In other words, I needed to own up to my part of the deal. Was there sin involved in borrowing money and loaning it to my friends, which 7 years later ultimately led me to going to prison? The government said the statute called me a straw borrower, a middleman. So even though there was no money lost, it's basically what I did. I borrowed money from my friends. And I had to own up to my end of the deal. I felt like going to prison was a little bit of a severe punishment, but admitting we're wrong is tough for men especially, to say, I am sorry, I was wrong, seems to be a tough thing. So number one point for me was, don't take too long to admit when you're wrong. And the scripture says, if we claim to be without sin, we're deceiving ourselves. Everybody has this same sin nature that we inherited from Adam. And it's pretty simple. We need to take that first step and admit when we are wrong. What's number two, Mark?
Number two, we got to identify, confess, and forget your sin. He died on the cross so you could win. And the scripture that we have with that is 1 John 1:9-10. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us for all unrighteousness. If we claim to be without sin, we make him out to be a liar, and his work has no place in our lives. So if you look at that, and you know, he helps us identify those things that we might not even have known as sin until that point when we come to him. And I know in my case that was the case. And then he's, you know, part of all this is that we're supposed to go to him and confess it. Does he know that you already sinned? Yes. But part of it is communicating with him and telling him that, you know, I confess that sin to you and giving it, handed it over to him. And the wonderful thing is that he forgets that sin, and we're supposed to forget that sin. That might be the tough part of the whole thing, though.
Yeah, so number one, admitting you're wrong should be easier when you know we also have a place to go with that, that will be forgiven and have a fresh start and a new beginning. You may be in need of that today as a listener to this program. You may be in need of a fresh start and a new beginning. That's why Jesus went to the cross, was to forgive you for your sins. And he wants to just, as Mark just said, hear your voice, confess that, identify it, and forget it. Move on. The third point under 12 tips so men can win was you can overcome anything if your faith is in the King. So John 3:3 tells us, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. So where you place your faith, I mean, I may have all kinds of faith that I'm going to start in the outfield this year for the Colorado Rockies, but the fact is when I played pro baseball at age 21, I couldn't hit then. I wasn't a great player then. Now I'm 67. So the circumstances point to the probability that I'm not going to play for the Rockies this year. So I can have my faith put in the wrong place completely. You can dedicate a whole life to something that has misplaced faith at its foundation and live for nothing. But you can overcome anything the world has to throw at you if you put your faith in the right thing, which is the author, the creator of life, Jesus Christ, the King. And to see the kingdom of God, you will be born again through your relationship with Jesus.
Well put. The fourth point we've got is to avoid a mental riot, get alone with God and be quiet. And the scripture that we got with that one is Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, that's one thing that, again, you know, if you get alone with God and be quiet, he'll get you through everything. And I love that part where the peace of God that transcends all understanding. What comes to my mind is that until you feel that peace, it's hard to describe. I remember when I came to Christ, I was asked, was it a peace that came over me? And I said no, because it was just a lot more than any kind of peace that I had ever experienced before. But that'll get you through, and especially avoid those mental riots that can happen when life hits you there and you end up in prison.
Yeah, really. And then number five is read your Bible every day, or soon there might be hell to pay. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So read your Bible every day, or soon there might be hell to pay. It's the equivalent of just making a decision to not eat. I'm not going to eat anything for 5 days. And just look at how your body parts start absolutely malfunctioning. And the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, and should be where we go daily for our spiritual food. Open that Bible, read the third chapter of the book of John, read the whole book of John, read one chapter to match each day of the month in the book of Proverbs if you don't know how to read your Bible. In prison, I was able to read the Bible every day for 3 hours minimum, some days more. I remember asking the guy that was kind of on the edge of what we did in prison in terms of our Christian fellowship, how many hours a day do you think we're reading the Bible? And that was his answer. I agreed with him. 3 to 4 hours a day. So out here, the prison out here is this prison of pace that you get so busy with stuff, we forget to go for the very nourishment that God offers us in the Bible. So the answer to every question you have about life can be found in the Bible. I promise you that. And the promises of God are certainly worthy of paying attention to and building your life around.
Yeah, and the next one follows that one perfectly. It says, every single day, take the time to pray. And the verse that we have on that one is 1 Thessalonians, it's 5:16. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Take time every day. I can't tell you how much of an impact that's been in my life, just taking that time to sit down and be with the Lord and pray. Now, I remember when I, again, new Christian, and I asked, well, how do you pray? I wasn't real, informed on what that might look like. And fortunately, I had a good friend that just said, hey, it's just a conversation with God. And that's all it is, just going to him and talking to him. And as that conversation goes, it's not only speaking, but it's listening. And that time with the Lord can every day is important.
Amen. And number 7 is to set your heart and mind on things above. Concentrate on building your ladder of love. And here's where that one comes from. Colossians 3:1 says, since then you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. So I wrote this one because I was thinking, I remember having the thought, you know, that's nice to set my mind and heart on things above, but my rear end is down here trying to make it day to day, and it is tough. So how am I supposed to live up here in the clouds in terms of my mind and heart? Well, it's just interesting that the two work hand in glove, and that if you will set your mind on godly things, your heart, your mind, then things here work out better for you. And then the second part of that, concentrating on building your ladder of love, Bob Belts and I read this scripture a long time ago, 35 years ago, Matthew 22, where Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. We named that the ladder of love. In other words, this five-rung ladder that says, focus on these relationships, Christ, self, friends, family, and fellow man, and through that grid, look through that grid at everything else you're doing in life, your job, the raising your kids, your leisure time, your social life, whatever. So one way to make sure you set your heart and mind on things above is to memorize this verse that we call the ladder of love, the order of priorities that God says we should have in terms of relationships, Christ, self, family, friends, and fellow man. It works out quite nicely for point number 7.
And number 8, follows up with that is honor your wife every day of your life. You got to prioritize your wife in there. And as Paul said in his letter to Ephesians, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Making that a priority to honor your wife is so important, and I know that I've probably haven't done that the best at times, but your time in prison, you did that well.
And there are preachers that actually say when we get to heaven as men, one of the first thing God's going to say to us is, did you do everything you could possibly do to bring that woman I gave you into the fullness I intended for her in her life? So pretty serious business when you become husband and wife, and the husband should honor every day his wife. And that scripture points us right to that. Number 9 says, the law of the harvest you should know. I should stop there and say, this is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. My partner today is Mark Klibbe, and we're going through what we call tips from the team. And this is a sermon I gave, the first sermon I gave 25 years ago after I got out of prison and was really not in the mood or in the physical state to give a sermon yet. But this one, this is what I wrote out because these were the things I was learning at that time, and it's still pertinent today because it's scripture. But number 9 of the 12 tips so men can win says, the law of the harvest you should know. You'll eventually reap the seeds that you sow. Galatians 6:7 is one of my favorite verses. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So if you think you're getting away with something, I'll kind of do this over here on the side, or this is my own little activity apart from God. Think again, Bible breath. That's not the way it works. You're going to reap what you sow. So I told my kids, even when we were promised probation, we still had to go in for this formal hearing, and I said, look, this is harvest time for your dad and for your, for all of us as a family. And some of this harvest is already terrible. We didn't even like that I had to plead guilty to a felon, a straw borrowing. I didn't even know what it was. But I also said, there'll be good parts to this harvest. It won't all be bad. There'll be some good things, so look for that as well. And this scripture's really fabulous, saying, you know, God's not going to be mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. There'll come a payday for everything. So sow in the right way, and sow joy, and sow friendship, and sow kindness, and watch how that all comes back to you in the form of a harvest.
Well put, Bo. Next one we've got here is take daily action to communicate. Write, call, encourage. Love in action is great. And the verse that we've got there is from James, second chapter, verse 17. In the same way, faith by itself, it is not if not accompanied by action, is dead. That says volumes right there. That, you know, it's you got it. Your faith should be leading you to action, and one of those actions that it speaks right here is communicate, encourage each other, reach out to that one person that you're gonna reach out to and encourage. They'll change his day, change his life probably, or maybe. And that's part of that love your neighbor as yourself. Reach out and be that light with other people.
And then number 11 is, do not get entangled in worldly affairs. Keeping things simple will limit your cares. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. So in my case, I was just an unsafe person, and some of that was because I just was so entangled in worldly affairs and my business interests and things that I shouldn't have been involved in the first place, unequally yoked with people that I shouldn't have been involved with in the first place. And to avoid that, simplicity becomes a single word focus for me. Keeping things just a little more simple clears things up for me, and also helps me in my pace of life. My wife and daughter especially feel safer around me because I'm not subjecting them to this kind of entanglement.
The last one we've got here is, no matter how deep you are in the hole, remember that God is in control. The verse that we've got there is from Revelations 4:2. At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. As our friend Bob Belts is, says, it's good news. There is a throne in heaven, and someone is on it, which means somebody's in control, and you don't have to be. I got a neighbor that as he was going through a real hard time with his wife with cancer, and he knew some of the troubles I've been going through, and he goes, how do you keep so calm? First of all, I never thought myself as calm, but I looked at him and I said, you know, it makes a world of difference when you know that there's a God that's in control and you don't have to be.
Doesn't mean you don't do your best.
No.
It just means ultimately you accept the fact that this isn't just spinning out of control.
Right.
Something bad happens to you. It's not something that, oh, that one slipped through God's fingertips. No, he's still in charge.
Yeah. Yeah, and nothing takes him by surprise. And he'll get you through anything. Like it says here, no matter how deep that hole is, he's there, and he is in control even when it doesn't look like it.
So what we've just shared today on Tips from the Team is a sermon I gave called 12 Tips So Men Can Win. This sermon, just about like this, with the rhyming headlines and then the scriptures that follows, can be found in a book that my wife and I just wrote and had published through Tyndale House called Grace Behind Bars. And people seem to be telling us the book is very encouraging to them. One good friend called and said, this is a God book. This has really pointed me in a good direction and encouraged me in many ways. So if you want to see this in written form, what you heard on the broadcast here today, pick up one of those books, Grace Behind Bars, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Hobby Lobby, Lifeway Christian Center. And I hope the scriptures that we share to reinforce these different points will really minister to you, because at the point I wrote this, these were the lessons that I had learned. May 22nd was my last night in federal prison. The next morning, I was supposed to be picked up at 9 o'clock by my family to be released to a halfway house. And with my roommates, I prayed that night, God, if I haven't learned every lesson you had for me through this experience in prison, I pray all the paperwork would blow up and I would not be released tomorrow. My roommates said, don't pray that tonight. Pray it when you get home tomorrow. Well, I was released, and this was the first message I put together. So thanks for listening today. Do you get the blessing? Thank you, Mark, for being the co-host.
My pleasure.
And we'll see you next week here on our program. Thank you for being with us. I need someone.